want to, in a brief while we have the time, to just turn to four verses in the Bible, and we want to go through them very quickly to declare the good news. The gospel is the good news. First verse is John chapter 7. John chapter 7 verse 46. John chapter 7 verse 46. Never, the last part of the verse, never a man spake like this man. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And turn back to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified. We'll stop there. And the last verse is Acts chapter 17. Turn a couple of pages. Acts chapter 17 verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by this man, or the man that he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance with all in that he hath raised him from the dead. It's interesting, in a world which we live in which communication is done by Snapchats and tweets and, instant messaging. And how can you condense this wonderful good news in such a way that you can communicate in this day and age what is essentially the good news of the gospel? How can we learn the art of communicating this timeless truth in the times in which we live? And I wanted to just go through these scriptures really quickly in the time that we have allotted so that we can understand that what the good news is. What is the gospel? Romans 1 tells us that the gospel is concerning the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look through these verses that we read, every verse is drawing our attention to him. Many, many years ago, my family and I was at Mountain View Bible Camp, and it was a family camp. The children were little. And the subject that year was how to share the gospel, evangelism, your family as a platform for which you can share the gospel. And one of the exercises that we had to do was, one person was playing as if they were a news reporter. And they would come up to you and stick a microphone in your face and say, so tell me, what is it that you believe in the gospel? And you had 30 seconds or less, because this is the age in which we live. This is the time in which we live. We only have brief encounters and brief moments. And how do we maximize and capitalize? How do we consolidate the timeless truth of the gospel to communicate it? We want to communicate that to you, that you might be sitting in this room thinking that you're okay, thinking that you believe. And it was interesting that this morning, brother brought the account of Nicodemus. Here was Nicodemus, a man who was the teacher in Israel, who was familiar with the scriptures. And many in this room, because of where you come from, because of your background, because of your family circumstances, because of your situation, you are aware of the language. You are aware of the words. You know how to give the SSAs. You know what an SSA is? A standard Sunday school answer. But just like Nicodemus, when he came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ knew the real deal with him and says, you know what? You must be born again. So what is the gospel? The first verse we read, never a man spake like this man. The gospel really starts with two things. It starts with God who is holy. God who is ever existent. And he has spoken. It says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament declares his handiwork. Day unto day it utters praise. It's all about God. And God in his infinite wisdom spawned this world in which we live. But he didn't just make the world in which we live. And it not only testifies concerning him, but he himself personally has communicated to man who he made to live on this earth. And he made man, and we talked about this morning how he gave man absolute freedom to enjoy everything that he prepared for him. And what did man choose to do? Man chose to rebel. Man chose to reject what God had instructed and had given him. And so when we think about the gospel, it starts with God. God who made all things and made you and I. He communicates. He communicates through nature, through the things that he has made. But ultimately, it's about the greatest communicator. John 1 tells us that the Word was in the beginning. And the Word was God. And it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Lord Jesus Christ walked in this scene. And he communicated. And he told us exactly what was in the heart of God. He tells us that God is light and in him there's no darkness. He tells us that the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. He told us, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. He said some very startling things. And so when he spoke in that day while he was here, men looked at him and says, wait a second, never a man spake like this man because he spoke the truth. He told people the way it really is. And the way it really is, young people, the way it really is for us who believe is that this world lies in the hand of the wicked one. It is fallen, it is corrupt, it is depraved. And not only is the world that way, but that is the state and condition of our hearts. Jesus Christ came into this world and he communicated to us and told us what was in the heart of God. He told us that God so loved. He told us that except you repent. And so we have God here and we have fallen man here. And what the gospel do is seeks to bring the two together. But the only way that can happen is because God is holy, because he is light. He cannot simply overlook you and overlook me and our condition. He cannot overlook the depravity that's in my own heart and my own mind. He cannot overlook the rebellion that's in my heart. The anarchist that lives within that says, no man tells me what to do. I do what I want to do. And Jesus Christ comes into this world and he shows us not only by what he said, but by everything he did. This is the way God calls it. This is the way God sees it. Jesus Christ came and he lived a perfect life. He was sinless. He was the man after God's own heart. God would say as he opened to heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, hear him. And so the first thing in the gospel is we have to hear. We have to hear. And one of the dangers is growing up under the ability to hear the word of God in the home and in the Sunday school and at conferences and at camps is that we hear it over and over and over again and we get immune to it. We don't react to it. We don't respond to it anymore. But the first part in understanding the gospel is that God has spoken. He has spoken in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing we need to do is hear. Then we turned over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, it says, this man, after he made one sacrifice for sin. This is the amazing grace that we've been singing about, the amazing love that we've been singing about, that God is holy, sees us in our depraved condition. He cannot compromise his holiness. How does he meet the two where he sets his love on us and wants us to enjoy him forever? How can he do that? And the only way he can do that is that sin's debt must be paid. The only way he can do that, sin must be dealt with. There must be an answer for his holiness with regard to sin. And he sits as a judge in all the earth and he says, he, the soul that sins, shall surely die. But his grace and his love found a way. There's a hymn in our hymn book, Love Found a Way. And how did he find that way? He found that way because his holiness to be satisfied, someone had to die. The day that you eat of it was the command in the garden, you shall surely die. And so death passed upon all of us because of one man's sin. And so by one man's obedience, many can be made righteous. The Lord Jesus Christ came and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He obeyed to go to the cross that God might pour on him, that he might be that sacrifice for sin, that he might be the one who bears sin away to remove that blight that stood between us and God. And so this man, one sacrifice, you know, and if you read the Bible and you know the history of the Bible, there's lots of sacrifices, but the Bible tells us by his one sacrifice, his death answered God's holy demands against sin. And so now the responsibility lies with you and I. What are you going to do about the sin that's in your heart? God has answered it as far as he's concerned. He has found a way that he can show his love and grace to you. But it's going to call something out from you. And so we read in Acts chapter 13, you recognize the burden of your own sin, the burden of your own rebellion against God. I tell you that the good news is that through this man is forgiveness for sins. You can experience forgiveness. You can experience the absolution of your guilt before God because Christ has died. But not only did he die, but he rose again. And now he's seated on the throne of God and he invites you to come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He's a risen Savior. He wants to transform you and take you out from this world and this life in which you serve self and Satan until now you can live to serve him. He, one sacrifice, and now he's set down on the majesty on high. The Bible says, not only is he set on high, but he ever lives to make intercession for those who come to God by him. What the gospel tells us is that God in his grace and his love reaches down to those who are depraved and lost, to you and I who are depraved and lost, and he tells us, I've found a way to answer your deepest need. And that need can be met when you put your faith in my beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, who died, who was buried, who rose again, and he promises ever to live to make intercession if you come in faith believing. And that's really the gospel. The gospel is God has done all this. He has set forth his Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he calls men to repent. He calls you to repent. He calls me to repent. And if I haven't repented, I haven't gotten rid of the notion that I am still the boss. You know, the Bible says that this matter of faith, it's the obedience of faith. It's a matter of saying, I relinquish rights to myself. I relinquish rights then and recognize God's rights. And he has centered all of his rights in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I bow to him because he is Lord of all. He that believeth will not be put to shame. And the last verse that we read, in Acts chapter 17, this is not so that, you know, we can just kind of go away thinking that it's okay. Because there is going to be a day of accounting, a day of reckoning. There will be a day of reckoning for every man who has breathed the breath of God. And that day of reckoning is going to be that this man, this one who came, who told us all that God wanted us to know, who died in order that God might be gracious to show his grace to you, who offers forgiveness through him, there's a day coming in which he's going to judge in righteousness. He's going to look into your heart. He's going to look into my heart. He's going to look at the record of my words. He's going to look at everything. And he's going to make a righteous judgment. He has committed all judgment to this man. He is raised from the dead. And either I can know him now as my Savior and Lord by repenting and receiving forgiveness of sin, or I will know him as the one who's going to judge. He will judge in righteousness. You'll have no excuse. You'll have no words to say. You'll have no defense. The best defense attorney will do you no good. And so the good news is concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Maker of earth, heaven and earth. The one who communicates to us that God is love. The one who communicates to us that God is light. The one who says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. The one who made every provision that God in grace can come out to you and offer you forgiveness of sins. And he invites you, he invites me to come and receive this blessed one, the Lord Jesus, and to realize that he is ascended on high. He ever lives to make intercession, and my life now is transformed to not serving self, but to serving him. And if I reject that message, I will meet him as judge. This man God has appointed to judge in righteousness, and he will do so, and the end will not be a good one. Is anyone in this room who you've been, you know, you're familiar with these things, but you've really never understood the depth of what is at stake here, that your soul is priceless in the sight of God? And if you still are in your sin, still rebellion, still going against the law of God, still going against what God wants you to do, this is your opportunity to repent, to receive the forgiveness that God has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust him, to believe on him. You'll have new life and enjoy the freedom that we're going to be talking about.